Hear the good news of Easter. Christ is alive. He has risen, as he said. The stone has been rolled away, and Jesus has conquered the grave, the power of sin and death. This is God's good news for you and for all. I want to welcome you to Selma Christ in New Burlington United Methodist Church's Easter worship service. My name is Pastor Andy Martin, and I am so glad that you have come and joined us today. Today is Resurrection Sunday, the dawning of a new and a glorious day, a day of new life, a day of miracles. The stone is rolled away. The tomb is empty. Christ is risen. Sin and death have been defeated. God has made the way for you and for me to know him personally. Christ is alive, and he calls you and I to live in him. Well, today we gather in our homes and in this place to share the story of the good news of Easter, to share again in the goodness and the power of the God who loves us. Easter is a time that reminds us that in the midst of shadows, God is still in control. And in these days of isolation, that is a truth that we truly need to hear. Easter tells us that the sun has risen and that our life can rise with him too. And so as we celebrate and we worship, we lift up our praise to God who has sent his only son so that we might have abundant life through him. Let's pray. Redeeming and loving God, we come before you with hearts of joy. As we celebrate the good news of Easter, we rejoice in your love for us, and we worship you in beauty and truth because we have faith that Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. We have hope in the resurrection, and we have new life in you. Oh Lord, accept our worship and praise, for it's through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Well, this morning I'd like to ask that question that I always ask in my church. Where have you experienced God? Where have you seen God's work at hand in your life this week or in the last few weeks or maybe in our world? Where have you seen God in your midst? Well, I hope this morning that there are times and there are places that you have truly experienced God's touch. And maybe that's been from just a phone call from a friend. Or maybe that's through viewing some of the events that have taken place here in the last couple weeks. If you've seen this outpouring of people just loving on others in Jesus' name, just giving of themselves and sharing in the goodness of God with what they have and what they can give and what they can share with others. We just recognize and witness event after event, I know, on television, that as I tune in and see God's hand at work, whether it's gathering together in a hospital parking lot and praying for those folks at Ball Hospital together, or whether it is just picking up a phone and sharing in conversation with someone and just kind of lifting one another up in prayer together. This morning, we again just give God thanks for his hand at work and his hand moving in our lives. And I hope you've been able to witness that. Let's pray together now for our community and for our world. Loving God, we give you all of our praise and we give you all of our thanks for your goodness. Lord, these are hard days. Never before have we had to do Easter service like this. This terrible virus, Lord, and it's inflicting pain and hurt and death upon so many in our country and especially around our world. Lord, we would just pray for an end to all of this. Jesus, we would just ask in your strong name that you would intervene, that you would just bring about a miracle this day and the days to come, that you would set those free who are hurting and who are suffering in this, that you would be present, God, with those families that are walking that painful and that anxious time as they have loved ones that are in the hospital suffering with COVID-19 and really being unable to physically be with them. How hard, how terrible this must be. And so, God, we just give them to you and ask that you would just bring your comfort and your strength and your help in these moments. Lord, we pray especially for those who are suffering in the hospital. We pray for your healing, Jesus. We pray that medication that is tried and through the work with the hospital staff and the doctors and whether they need to be on a ventilator, Lord, that this will be effective and that the loss of life will be low. Lord, we just give all of those who are hurting and struggling to you this day and ask that you bring to them your peace. Jesus, on this Easter Sunday, we pray for all of those who are on the front lines, those doctors and those hospital nurses and all of those workers, those who clean the rooms and those who stock and the janitors. Lord, just watch over them and keep them safe. Lord, we just pray for protection for them, and would you just renew them and strengthen them, and may they know how much we appreciate them, Lord, and we just give them to you for your empowerment and your presence. Lord, we pray for those who are first responders, those who are in our community and working and having to meet those needs first on, whether they're in the fire department or the police force or EMS or where, Lord. We just ask that you would encourage them also and keep them strength and bring to them your peace and keep them healthy, Jesus. We give them to your care. And Lord, just help us to be mindful of one another, our neighbors and all of those around us. Help us, Lord, to just lift one another up and be an encouragement to you. For Lord, we know that our hope is in you and we trust you. And we know that there is an end to these days that we are facing now and that we know that that end will come and there will be a victory over this awful virus. And so, Lord, we look forward to that, and we just pray, God, for a vaccine. We pray, God, that there will be some kind of medication that will truly prove to be effective, and just work through all of those, Lord, who are working on that now. God, we just give you give all of this to you, and ask for your help. And we hope in you, Jesus, for we give you thanks in your precious name. Amen. For the last few weeks, we've been sharing in a sermon series from the Son of God movie. And we've been looking at Jesus' question to his disciples when he asked, "Who do you say I am? Who do you say I am?" And in our time together, we've seen that Jesus is the Son of Man. He is the sinner's friend. He is the anointed one. He is the coming king. And these biblical labels and all the fulfilled prophecies in God's word point to the truth that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is the Messiah, that he is the Christ, that he is the Son of the living God, and by no other name are we saved. Amen. Oh, that is good news. Good news. Oh, church, because of Jesus, we have received the miracle of Easter. The tomb, it is empty. Jesus has risen from the dead, as he said. Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. He has broken the power of sin and death, and only by him will we receive the forgiveness of our sins and the new life that Jesus brings to us as adopted sons and daughters of God. John 20:31 tells us that we can believe Jesus is who he says he is because of the miracles that prove he is who he says he is. And the greatest miracle of all is what happened on Easter morning when Jesus rose from the dead, defeating sin and death for you and for me today and for all people of all time. John 20:31 says these words. It says, "But these," talking about the miracles, "but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. Oh, church, we know that each gospel writer lifts up really what spoke to them in the accounting of the resurrection. This is why John's account doesn't mention everything that Luke does, or what Matthew says, or what Mark says and talks about the resurrection. It's kind of like having Easter dinner. You know, we gather together and have Easter dinner with our family. And Easter dinner is the event. And someone might focus on maybe how good the noodles are, and they'll talk about that. Someone else might talk about how wonderful the ham is, and are those rolls are just incredible. And so they talk about these different pieces, but that's not the focus. That's not having three different Easter dinners. It's still having the same Easter dinner. And oh my, is it good. Oh, today I want you to hear the word of the Lord, the good news of Easter, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from John's Gospel, John chapter 20, beginning with verse 1 through 10. John says these words to us. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now, church, I want to ask a question this morning. How many of you believe in miracles today? How many of you believe in miracles? Because if you do, you're in pretty good company. Because according to the Harris Poll and Washington Post and Fox, about 75% of Americans today believe in miracles. And the Easter story is about God's greatest miracle, the miracle of new life offered to all on behalf of Jesus' redemptive work for all humanity. Now, I was really hoping today that we could have met in church for worship. Easter is just so different this year because of this terrible virus, and at least we can worship online in the way that we're doing together like this, but it's hard, it's difficult, and I was really hoping we could worship together in church, but because we want to do no harm, as Wesley, three simple rules was do no harm, do good, stay in love with God. Part of that do no harm is by not bringing a virus to one another and inflicting even more with this with suffering. And so I'm glad that we are in our homes and that we're doing what we need to be doing to stay healthy and all. I think that's good stewardship. I truly do. But another reason I think that I was really hoping that we could worship together here in this place is so that I could get a couple of volunteers this morning. You see, a while back I came across this article about this thing called miracle fruit, and that name just kind of caught my attention, miracle fruit. And so I clicked on it and I began to read about it, and basically all it is this freaky little West African berry that when it's eaten, it's supposed to turn sour and nasty and icky foods into sweet, tasty delights. And even medicine, it's supposed to, that awful tasting medicine, is supposed to turn it into something that is certainly palatable. And so I thought, you know, that sounds kind of cool. I could maybe order some for Easter and maybe have some folks come up and in the front of the church, and we could maybe try it with lemons or something. That could be kind of fun. But of course, now's not the time to be ordering things from Florida or from wherever. So if you happen to get a chance, go online today and just type in miracle fruit, and you can see all kinds of videos of people trying it and showing how it works. In fact, it's often used for patients who are even doing chemotherapy to help with that awful taste. But check it out sometime today, not right now, but maybe after the sermon's over, and check out this miracle fruit. Now, how this is supposed to work is that this glycoprotein molecule called miraculin will bind to the tongue's taste buds, and it just kind of fools the taste bud receptors into identifying acids as sweet. But people use this for all kinds of things. If you're dieting and you have to maybe eat nasty tasting stuff, then these little berries will just make things taste so much better. Or say, for instance, you're out on a date, and that moment is just right for you to lean in and give your sweetie a little sugar. And as you do, you discover that she's got Godzilla breath. You know, I mean, you know, all you gotta do is just pop a couple of these into your mouth and chew them up and wait about a minute or so, and to your surprise, oh my, Godzilla breath will be turned right into the sweetest kiss that you've just ever had. And personally, I think these things could really come in handy when your mother-in-law invites you over for dinner. Everybody else is trying to choke down those burnt baked beans, and there you are just smiling and saying, "Oh, mother-in-law, these are just so good. You know, you would just end up being her favorite son-in-law." Now, if you ever order any of these berries, make sure you get the miracle fruit berries. Don't get miracle fruit confused with magical fruit, okay? Because mother-in-laws really won't like you if you do the magical fruit. The beans, the more you, okay. Anyways, miracle fruit, though. You can turn sour lemons or persimmons into this sweet treat. But is it really a miracle? Is it really a miracle? No, it's not. We know how it works. We know that all it is this glycoprotein called miraculin that binds to your taste buds. But it's still pretty cool. But it is not a miracle. See, miracles are those things where God intervenes in our life in extraordinary ways. Miracles take us beyond reason. Miracles take us beyond tradition and our normal life experiences. You see, miracles are divine. They're divine. And so when miracles occur, when they are experienced, and when they are truly recognized for what they are and for who they come from, oh, they have the power to drastically change a person's life from that point forward. And they have the power to solidify one's faith. Today in John's Gospel, we read how a man came to believe in the Easter miracle, and not by angels, not by the witness of the women who saw Jesus alive and resurrected. No, this man came to believe that Jesus had conquered death while everyone else was still weeping. Oh, John gives us a different look at the resurrection. In the other Gospels, you have angels sitting on a stone or angels in the tomb and earthquakes and the divine risen Jesus standing before the women. And that all happens. And in fact, angels are in the tomb in John's Gospel in the next scene with Mary, but not here with John in the text that I read. You see, John picks up the story from when the women come to the tomb and find it empty. And Mary runs to find the disciples to tell them that they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him. You see, the we indicates she wasn't alone when she came, when she came to the tomb. And then begins this foot race back to the tomb, and the beloved disciple John reaches the tomb first. And what's he see? What's John see? The strips of linen wrapped Jesus' body. And then Peter arrives, and he goes straight into the tomb, and he sees the strips of linen as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. And this cloth was folded up by itself, nice and neat and separate from the linen strips. And then John steps into that tomb, and he sees everything that Peter sees. And the Bible tells us that he saw and believed. Oh, John was the first to believe in the Easter miracle. Not necessarily the resurrection. That's kind of rushing it. That comes later. But the Easter miracle John gives witness to is that Jesus had without a doubt conquered death. Jesus without a doubt had risen. It was as if the dead had simply stepped out into life. The linen cloth lay there in the tomb, and the burial cloth is still in its folds. It was as if Jesus just stepped out into life. Oh, there are no angels proclaiming Jesus' resurrection, only a cold, dark tomb and grave clothes lying there. And it is in that quiet evidence John sees and believes. He knows Jesus' body has not been stolen. The grave clothes are evidence of that. His Easter miracle is knowing that somehow, some way, Jesus has conquered death. Where is Jesus now? John doesn't know. Maybe Jesus is with the Father. Maybe Jesus is somewhere. He doesn't know where Jesus is. John still does not fully understand what he sees. All he knows is that Jesus is not there, and someone didn't carry him off. Jesus carried himself off as he conquered death. And this is when the gospel writer tells us in verse 9 that they still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. And as we read on, we see they still don't fully come to understand all this, even after they see Jesus resurrected. They don't fully understand this until Jesus' ascension and the gift of the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, that comes and reveals the completeness of all things to them. Oh, but you see, John saw and believed. He didn't completely understand, and that's all right. He still knew. He had witnessed God's miracle. Jesus had miraculously conquered death. Oh, you see, a person doesn't have to fully understand something to believe. I don't fully understand everything that happens when I put my key in my truck and I turn the switch. I know it has something to do with electrical and pistons and fuel injectors and all, but I don't know exactly how that all works together or the sequence of it. All I know, and really all I care about, is that when I turn the switch, it starts. And I know that miracle fruit has something to do with glycoproteins that connect to your taste buds, that making sour foods sweet, but I don't know exactly how that all works. All I care is that if I eat one of these little miracle fruit berries, a minute later I can bite into a lemon and it can taste like sweet lemonade. And honestly, we don't have to have everything all figured out and understood, the I's dotted and the T's crossed about the resurrection of Jesus to believe. You see, miracles are like that. They are divine. They take us beyond reason and tradition and our normal life experience. And miracles are given to us so that when we recognize them and we recognize from whom they come, They give us the power to drastically change our lives from that point forward and to solidify our faith. In the United States today, about 59% of Christians and about 35% of the general public claim to have seen situations or circumstances with themselves or with friends or with maybe family members which they consider to be miracles or unexplainable by science. But what I want to share with you this morning is that percentage should really be closer to like 100%, because each and every one of us have been given a miracle from God. And it's the same miracle that John experienced and later Mary and then all the disciples and still even later more than 500 of the believers who witnessed Jesus alive and resurrected. And that miracle is the miracle of new life in Jesus. The new life that Jesus offers. Oh, church, it is divine. It goes beyond all reason and tradition. It goes beyond our normal life experience. It is God sending His Son into our world, paying the price for our sin and our separation from Him, and making the way possible for you and I to live forever with Him right here on this planet Earth and for all eternity. Oh, the resurrection miracle of Jesus is proof positive that God has done this and that God has given this miracle to you and to me and to all. And so the question for us on this Easter morning is, will we see and will we believe? Will you see and will you believe? Will we recognize God's miracle in our life and let its power change us from the inside out? Or will we let God's miracle for us solidify our faith? Or will we not recognize it and not recognize the one from whom it comes? Now, I know some of you today have been praying for a miracle. Maybe you have a family member that only a touch of God can heal. Some of you have almost lost all hope as you've tried to hold your family together, and it just seems to keep coming unraveled, and you're praying for a miracle. There are some today who are out of work, and things are getting so tight that you're not sure how in the world you're going to make it. This stay-at-home order has just been pushed out further and further, and you're desperately praying for a miracle, praying that life can get back to some kind of normal. Oh, no doubt in these days, most of us are looking for some kind of divine intervention, either for ourselves or for a loved one or for a friend, and certainly as we face this COVID-19 pandemic together. And so what I want you to hear this morning is this. We have a God who miraculously intervenes in our world. We have a God who waited until just the right time to send His Son to be the incarnation of God on earth. We have a God who not only heals the blind and makes the lame walk again in biblical times, but He is also active and present in our day, touching lives and making people whole again. And I know, without a doubt, this God cares for you. This God cares for me. This God cares for all. You see, this is what this whole Easter thing is about. It is about God caring for you, God going the distance for you. So keep praying. Keep praying for your miracle. God's listening. And God may just move in a miraculous way again. Oh, but you must have eyes to see and a heart to believe. Oh, church, on this Easter morning, I want us to be confident of this. Every person on planet Earth has been given a miracle from God. What we could not do for ourselves, what our natural world could not do, what science cannot do, God has done. He has covered our sins and bridged the separation between us and Him. In the resurrection of Jesus, Sin and death have been defeated, and Jesus has made the way for you and I to live forever with God. In this life, today, right now, and in the one to come, when we close our eyes for the last time. Oh, listen, this is God's Easter miracle for all. This is our miracle. Will we see? Will we believe? Oh, church, be encouraged. Hold on to the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Loving Father, you sent your Son Jesus into the world so that we might come to know you and to come to live our lives in you. You've spoken your word for us, and through Jesus you have forgiven us our sins. Even though our sins are like scarlet, they've been made white as snow, your word says. Though they are as red as crimson, they've been made like wool. Oh Lord, you have given us this miracle to claim as our own. And so on this Easter Sunday, we too see and believe in the miracle of the resurrection, and we trust in the transforming power of your Holy Spirit. Oh Lord, we pray for one another this day and for our world. We pray for those who are needing a miracle in their family, a miracle in their home or for their health, and for maybe a miracle for their finances. Oh Lord, we're asking you that your divine touch go out to all of those who are suffering. Bring your peace, bring your help, bring your hope. And Lord, we give you thanks for all that you've done, for it's in Christ Jesus we pray. Amen. Go now in the strength and the peace and the grace of the God who loves you and who loves all. And may we be people of the faith who reach out in love in Jesus' name. Amen.